BBC News with David Austin. The US-led coalition has launched its most sustained air attack so far on Islamic State positions around the Syrian Kurdish town of Kobani. The Pentagon said US warplanes had hit tanks, heavy guns and fighters. A BBC correspondent near the town says the advance of IS appears to have been halted. Maisa Abdo, a Kurdish commander in Kobani, told the BBC the strikes had been effective but had been late in coming.
It is true that the coalition airstrikes against the heavy weapons of IS and against large groups of IS fighters were more effective yesterday. However, they're a bit late. If the coalition had attacked with such strength and effectiveness beforehand, we wouldn't have seen IS reach the city and destroy so many lives.
Meanwhile, the UN Special Envoy for Syria, Staffan de Mistura, has warned that the world cannot allow another city to fall under IS control and called for concrete action. From New York, here's Nick Bryant.
Kurds in the town of Kobani had defended themselves with great courage, said the UN Syria envoy Staffan de Mistura, but were now very close to the point of not being able to do so. They were fighting with normal weapons up against Islamic State's mortars and tanks, and the international community needed to defend them. In a message that appears to be aimed at Ankara more than Washington, the Italian diplomat said Turkey had been very generous in receiving more than 200,000 people fleeing Kobani, but that concrete action was now needed. Turkey has tanks lined up on the border, but has not intervened militarily.
Meanwhile, protests by Kurds demanding stronger action by the Turkish government to defend Kobani has spread across Turkey. Police used tear gas and water cannon. At least one person was reported killed. Kurdish protesters in Brussels forced their way into the European Parliament to demand stronger international action. The senior scientist advising the World Health Organization on Ebola says he's not surprised that a Spanish nurse became infected at a Madrid hospital while treating two Sierra Leone-based missionaries who died of the disease. Professor Peter Piot, who chairs the WHO's Ebola Science Group, says the slightest mistake while caring for a patient can be fatal. Imogen Folks reports from Geneva.
From the start of the Ebola epidemic, the World Health Organization has emphasized the impoverished healthcare systems of the countries hardest hit, Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. Its experts have insisted that modern hospitals with rigorous disease control measures would prevent infection. But the case of the Madrid nurse proves that's far more difficult than many realize. Professor Peter Piot, a world specialist in Ebola, now brought in by the WHO as an advisor, warns that even the simplest movement, like rubbing your eyes, is a risk.
World News from the BBC. The Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta has arrived in the Netherlands the day before he's due to appear before the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Mr. Kenyatta, who'll be the first head of state to come before the court, denies organizing ethnic killings of 1,200 people following elections 7 years ago. Peter Musembi from the BBC's Swahili service reports.
Mr. Kenyatta arrived in Amsterdam at Schiphol Airport, but he and his family were whisked away, even though he is here at his capacity as a citizen, as he said, not as a president. So tomorrow he will appear before the court, and it is expected that he will be questioned over allegations by the chief prosecutor that his government has been withholding crucial evidence. It is only after tomorrow's status conference that the judges are going to decide later the future of this case against Mr. Kenyatta.
The United Nations mission in Mali says rocket fire has hit a UN military camp in the north of the country, killing at least one peacekeeper. It's not yet clear who carried out the attack, but Islamist insurgents have been increasingly active in recent weeks. Chile's Supreme Court has halted the development of a gold and copper mine owned by the Canadian conglomerate Goldcorp, saying that indigenous communities had not been consulted. The court overruled a local appeals court which had dismissed an appeal filed on the El Morro mine by the Diaguita community in northern Chile. The Diaguita said the mine could pollute a local river. Several mining projects in Chile have been blocked after opposition from local communities. A British man who was jailed in Morocco for an alleged homosexual act has been freed. Ray Cole, who's 69, was imprisoned for 4 months along with his Moroccan partner after images were found on his phone. There had been widespread calls for his release. BBC News.